For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discerning of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Hath no God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this wonderful means of your grace, your word, and the preaching of your word, that you use it in so many ways, transforming people's lives, bringing people to faith, and growing us day by day. And we thank you that we have the opportunity to come together to study your word, not on our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray tonight that you will help us as we consider these verses to have understanding of them. We pray that you minister to our lives through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nations of the world and kingdoms of the world build and expand their kingdoms through physical strength. They create weapons, they buy weapons, they create infrastructures, they create financial systems, and they do all kinds of things in order to expand their kingdoms. This is how this world functions. But this is not how God built his kingdom. This is not how Christ built his kingdom. It is through the preaching of the word of God that God built his kingdom. It is the word of the cross that is the power of God. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believed. And it has been like that since the beginning of the early church. God used people, ordinary people, proclaiming the great message of the gospel until today. It doesn't have to be improved. There is no another method that we have to use to make it better, to make it more effective. It is just the preaching of God's word. From the beginning until today and until Christ will come. It doesn't matter what happened in the world. It doesn't matter the changes that happened in the world. God uses the same instrument, the preaching of God's word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to transform people's lives, to bring people to faith, and to grow faith. And Paul understood that very well. This is why he wrote these words to the Corinthians, that the word of the cross is the power of God. And he said that he would not come to them with eloquent words, but chose preaching the cross of Jesus. He knew that that is where the power of God rested. This is why he writes what he wrote to Timothy as well. He knew that it was very important. Think about this. Paul was about to finish his ministry. Paul was near to going to the presence of God and being executed. And the last words that he wanted his fellow brother, his disciple, his co-worker to hear is preach the word. Preach the word. He wanted to make sure that he will continue to do that. And think for a moment on this. Paul was in prison, and he will be executed for the same reason, for preaching the word. He didn't say, Timothy, well, this doesn't give you a good future. Look where I am right now. He said, preach the word. This is what you have to do. And this is what this passage is about. Is Paul telling Timothy that he needed to preach the word, that he needed to be faithful to his calling, but also telling us, brothers and sisters, centuries later, how important is the preaching of God's word. There are three things that I'd like us to consider from these verses today. The preacher, the challenge, and the mentor. The preacher, the challenge, and the mentor. The preacher. Paul starts saying, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. If you will read this in the Spanish version, it will be more like a solemn requirement, because that's more close to the Greek. The charge is a solemn requirement that he is asking Timothy. It's not just an encouragement. It's not just an advice. It's a solemn requirement. It was important that Timothy understood that that was what was at stake. And he brings to this solemn requirement two witnesses, God and Jesus Christ. This should have captured the attention of Timothy right away. You are required to do this in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. It's the same for anyone who stands in this pulpit to proclaim the word of God. It is a solemn requirement in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. Now, to make it more seriously, he said these words, Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. He is connecting this charge, this call, with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the final day of judgment. Because it is only through faith in Christ that comes through the preaching of God's word that somebody could stand in the presence of God and be declared righteous or justified before God. Only through the preaching of the word. So he's saying, Timothy, think about this. What you have to do, your task, your call, is connected with eternity. It's connected with the eternity of people who hear the preaching of God's word. Therefore, preach the word. Speak what God has spoken. What is the word? The Old Testament and the New Testament, because the gospel is everywhere in the word of God. Preach the gospel. Preach Christ. Preach Jesus, the Savior of the world. That's what Timothy was charged to do. How urgent was this? He says, be ready. And this be ready is have urgency in doing so. My uncle was a pastor and he was an evangelist. And he used to say to people, this is a case of an emergency. I need to tell you the gospel and you need to hear this right now. It is important. And I saw it in his life through his ministry. He will preach to the taxi driver. Wherever he went, he was preaching the gospel because he knew it was a case of an emergency. You could not see, he would say to me, you could not see a person in front of you who is going to hell without sharing the gospel with that person. You need to share the gospel. He used to say that to me. When? In season and out of season. By the way, if you want to be with me in the test, I am in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. In season and out of season. When it's welcome or when it's not welcome. When it's convenient or when it's not convenient. When you are tired or when you are not tired. When you are healthy or when you are sick. When you don't want to do it, you have to preach the word, Timothy. That's what he's saying. And many times, my own experience, and I believe it's the experience of many pastors, or all the pastors, there will be moments when you don't want to stand preaching because you are going through difficult things in your own life. But there is when you have to preach the word. When it's out of season. As there are times for you when you don't want to be here, hearing the word of God because you are down. But there is when you have to hear the word of God preached to you in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, and exhort. Three things that the preaching of the word of God does. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that. These three words, whether it's in English or in Spanish, they sound pretty similar, but they are not. They are three different Greek words. I would say they sound more like convince, correct, and encouraged. Is address your intellect, your moral, and your emotions. Your mind, your conscience, and your will. All these things are done through the preaching of the word of God. And Paul needed Timothy to understand that, that that's what he's doing. He is convincing people with the gospel. But he is also confronting and correcting sin with the word of God. And he is encouraging sinners and Christians who are discouraged. But this is to be balanced. He says, with complete patience and teaching. First he said, be ready, which is have urgency, but at the same time, have patience. Have patience for those who are hearing the gospel. Because there is an urgency on us who proclaim the word of God, in wanting to hear fruit, even in ourselves, but there is also the need of patience, because God works in his own time, in people's life, in people's hearts. This is Paul's words to the preacher, but he also wanted the preacher to know that he will face a challenge in his life. And it sounds that it's a challenge of our time. I was sharing with somebody this test during the week, and he said, oh, this is what is happening right now. Well, this is what has been happening since Timothy was preaching the word until today. There will be a time when people will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching. They will not want to hear sound teaching. Why? Because they will be having itching ears, and they will want to find teachers that will preach a message that will suit their own passions. Does it sound familiar? It is all around us. People want to hear a gospel that adjusts to their own passions, their own style of life. Sometimes it's us We want to hear a gospel sometimes that is softer. But that's not the truth. He says they will turn away from listening to the truth, from listening to the gospel, and they will try to seek their own meats. That is the challenge that Timothy the pastor had to endure as a preacher of the Word of God. But that's the challenge that we face today in our context. And I believe it's the challenge that the church will have to face until Christ comes. Because it's been about 2,000 years and the church has been challenged by that. But what is Timothy to do when he faced this? Always be sober-minded, is have balance, have self-control, and endure suffering. Because ministry is not easy. It's challenging. It's difficult. Therefore, Timothy had to endure suffering. He had to be firm in preaching the Word of God. He was called not to compromise the gospel because of what the world is asking of him. And that's what we are called to do today. What is his work? It's the work of an evangelist. Is it because he is an evangelist? Maybe. But not just because of that. It is because every time anybody stands before you to preach the Word of God, he is to preach the gospel. If a sermon doesn't have the gospel, it's not a sermon. You have to have the gospel. You have to speak about what Christ did. And that message never gets old. We need the gospel every day of our lives. Every single day. That's why he has to do the work of an evangelist. And by doing so, he is fulfilling his ministry. Preach the word. Preach the gospel. Now, how about the mentor? How about Paul? Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. My ministry on earth is finishing. It is because likely he had already a death sentence. But the time of his departure is no a sad time. Remember that for Paul, to live was Christ and to die was gain. He was looking forward to that day when he will be in the presence of Christ. But he only wanted to stay for the sake of preaching the word. Preaching the gospel. He is about to finish his ministry. And he is preparing his disciple to keep on doing the same ministry. Three things he says to Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I have kept the faith. He has certainly fought the good fight. He was having a conversation during the week about this part. I have fought the good fight. And my friend was saying, was it really a good fight? Was it really good? Because she was saying, all I remember is that Paul suffered a lot. But it was a good fight because how many people heard the gospel from Paul? How many people came to faith through his testimony, through his preaching? He fought the good fight. And he finished the race. Remember, he says to Timothy, fulfill your ministry. He's saying, I fulfill my ministry. I preach the word. I preach the gospel. And very important, especially in connection with what Timothy will face, which is the challenge of the time, is that Paul kept the faith. What is that? That he didn't compromise. That he didn't change the message. That he preached the gospel as it is. He kept the gospel until the end. Now, think about this. This sounds like a lot of work. Preach the word. Be ready. In season and out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort. Be patient. Teach. Be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Work the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. How would you be motivated to do all this heavy work? Paul says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He was looking forward to that. It is not that Paul earned it by good works. Paul knew he wasn't worth it. It is Christ. It is what Christ hath done for him on the cross that assured him that one day he will be in the presence of God and will stand there justified, declared as just, just because of what Christ did. That motivated Paul to do all what he is exhorting Timothy to do, which is a lot of work. Remember the crown of righteousness. Is that just for the preacher Timothy, for Paul, and for the other preachers after them? No. He says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. What is that day? The day of his appearing. It's the same word that you find in verse 1. His appearing. His epiphany. His second coming. On that day, not only me, Paul, you, Timothy, but all who love his appearing. Who love his appearing? Who want to see Jesus? So often, we pray, Jesus, come. I got a text message this Friday when we have an earthquake. And it was, Jesus, come. And I said, amen. We'll look forward to that day. That's our motivation. As Christians, we look forward to that day when we will be before our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that through Christ, that because of what Christ hath done, we will receive that crown of righteousness. For the preachers, preach the word. Preach the word. Be faithful to preach the word. For us, congregation, we're called to love to hear the word preached to us. Because when we are reproved, rebuked, and exhorted, the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, transforming us day by day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful gift you have given us, your church. This ordinary means of grace. As we come together and sit together and worship you and hear your word preached to us. Help us, Lord, to look forward every Sunday or every time we have an opportunity to hear your word preached to us. Help us, Lord, to pray beforehand in preparation for that. And we pray for anyone, Lord, who still don't know you, that the gospel might reach their hearts, that they might also come to faith in you and look forward to your appearing when you will come in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.